Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This weekend, the Boston Symphony Orchestra wraps up their regular season before heading west to Tanglewood for the summer. It's the end of their first season since the departure of music director James Levine, whom the orchestra has yet to replace.
The weekend's concerts also mark the end of a three-week engagement with BSO conductor emeritus Bernard Haitink. Performances led by the 83-year-old Dutch master have drawn glowing reviews, and orchestra members say his familiar presence has been reassuring in an otherwise uncertain time.
I had the pleasure of interviewing Maestro Haitink at Symphony Hall, where he is busy rehearsing not one, but two of the greatest works for orchestra and chorus ever written: Beethoven's Ninth Symphony and this one, Stravinsky's Symphony of Psalms. It's a piece with a special history in Boston. The BSO commissioned it to celebrate their 50th anniversary in 1931. Time magazine calls it the greatest classical work of the 20th century, and while Haitink shies away from such sweeping declarations, he does not disagree.
One can't avoid the feeling that the Symphony of Psalms is one of the great works. Amazing that Boston commissioned this and they got this piece.
Well, my recollection is that Serge Koussevitzky, the great conductor of the BSO, when he commissioned the work, asked for, I think, something with popular appeal and no chorus. And that's sort of the exact opposite of what he got.
Yeah, but I think that is typical, maybe not only Stravinsky, but that is the right of the composer. When you are asked to write a work for a great institution, you have to do what you want to do. And he did that. And maybe he was a little bit naughty and went totally in the other direction. And maybe we should not forget that they too were both Russian. And maybe there was some inner politics going on. Who knows?
Who knows?
But that's not our problem. Our gain is this wonderful piece.
Well, let's talk about the work. Something that's interesting about it is that it's for incredibly reduced orchestral forces. For instance, there are no violins.
No, but that is not so much reducing. That is more the color he wanted it, the sharpness. It's a very austere work, the choice of these psalms to start with. He wanted to get rid of all the mellow, flirtatious instruments like violins are.
It sounds almost like a wind ensemble when you listen to it.
Yes.
Just earlier today, you were rehearsing the other piece for the concert, which is Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, which, of course, has chorus in the final movement. I'm sure that every member of the Boston Symphony Orchestra has performed Beethoven 9 perhaps dozens of times.
Oh, yes.
Over the course of your 60-year career, I can only imagine how many times you've conducted it.
No, that is a strange thing. I tried to be very economical with performances of the Beethoven 9 because I find it an incredible piece, but also a very enigmatic piece. I always was a bit, first of all, frightened of it. And I get always slightly irritated with its popularity because of that last movement. Audiences very often don't understand the first movement at all, which is quite complicated, and very often don't have the patience for this wonderful adagio. And they all are waiting for...
They're all waiting for Ode to Joy at the end.
Yeah. But when you ask me, did you do it that often? No, I always thought, well, I don't want to make it a routine thing. That is my problem, being confronted as an orchestra with knows it so well. What can you tell them anymore?
Well, this is my question. I mean, I imagine that rehearsing such a well-known piece by such top-flight players, and it would almost be a pro forma exercise. Can you give me an example of something specific today that you had to work on them with, some point of interpretation?
When you start with the beginning of the first movement, it's very often, and also in this case, too loud, and doesn't have the mysterious feeling, and you have to insist, nearly with every orchestra. They are brilliant musicians, but it is in the character of the orchestra musician to let himself be heard.
So they have trouble getting pianissimo very soft.
It's just the conductor who has to show what he wants, and the orchestra musician will go with him.
We're concluding the first season of the BSO without Maestro Levine as music director. What is your sense of the health of the institution at this moment?
Listen, of course, this was a difficult season for them. But one should not underrate that. Also positive aspects. Because under the music director, everything is the music director. Decisions, new players, etc., etc. Now the orchestra has to be more grown up. And they are. I feel that. I wonder if it will be that easy to find a music director. Because of all the demands nowadays, hiring, firing musicians, which is a terrible thing on itself, programming, programs, guest conductors, sponsors, meetings, it goes on and on and on. And where is the music? I mean, it's too much for one person.
Do you consider yourself a candidate for the music directorship here?
No, of course not. Far too hard.
Maestro Heitink, thank you very much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
Pleasure to talk to you, sir. Thank you. Bernard Heitink is conductor emeritus of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, which he leads again this weekend. We'll leave you with more of that rehearsal from earlier today of Stravinsky's Symphony of Psalms, composed for the BSO more than 80 years ago.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusa. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.